Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time to grab your bike, hit the road. It's time for the Pedego Podcast, where we chronicle the e-bike revolution, including the entrepreneurs driving it and the love stories of those driving along. And today, we've got a fellow journalist. We've got somebody else who's been chronicling this e-bike life for some time here. Welcome to the show. Our guest today is Dave Hogan. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Paul.
You have been a longtime newspaper journalist in your life and a PR person. Give us some quick highlights. Where did you work and how long did you work in the newspaper business?
Yeah, I worked as a newspaper reporter my first 5 or 6 years out of college, and then transitioned over to public relations, which a lot of journalists do.
Sure.
And but I never gave up my love for writing. That really started back in high school. I was on my newspaper staff that far back and editor of my campus newspaper in college. So I've always loved to write. And so as a hobby, I got into writing first a blog about retirement living and then one about e-bikes. And that resulted in writing a book about electric bikes.
And the name of the book is?
It's called E-Bikes, Putting the Fun Back into Cycling and Life at Any Age.
Well, you must have been reading Don's mind. I know you interviewed Don. Maybe he influenced the title because he just keeps saying, what's this all about? Let's start with that 3-letter word, F-U-N, fun.
Fun, yes.
So is it fun or is it, are we just imagining this? Is it, you know, let's go back to what bikes were 100 million years ago. When I was a kid, a bike was a magic spaceship. It was a magic carpet. It was your freedom. It was all about freedom and fun. You could go anywhere, be anything, do anything. And we had people come on like me that talked about, oh, they tricked out their bike and they wore capes and you felt like you were, you know, whatever, a superhero riding around the world in your bike. As silly as that sounds, we treated bikes that way. And then somewhere along the way, bikes became, well, they're for exercise, they were for transportation, or they were too young. I'm too old for a bike. Talk about that transition. How did we get back to just having fun and imagination and imaginative journeys on bikes again here?
Yeah. And my story is very similar.
And let's get you a little closer to the mic. I'm a little louder than you are.
Okay. I'm a baby boomer too.
Yeah.
And so my story is very similar. You know, as a kid, I just lived on my bicycle. I explored the town by bike. I can't believe now the freedom that I had back in those days. Right. You know, no cell phones, no nothing. I was just out exploring the town on my bike. But I think really the electric bike is what has made the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I rode a bike before. I had an acoustic bike or a regular bike, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I was a cyclist. I rode some. But most of the time, the bike sat in the garage. Half the time, the tires were flat. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't ride very often. But once I bought an electric bike, you know, I got that e-bike grin that everyone talks about. Yeah. It's real. The fun that Don talks about, it's a reaction that almost everyone has once they get on an electric bike for the first time.
So what is it? The great William Shatner on. Guy's 90, rides an e-bike, big enthusiast. And he calls it, wee! We had somebody else who call, they're traveling around the country and they call themselves, I don't know, the wee people or something like that. Is it just that silly? Is it make you like a little kid, like my little grandson's only one I hear say, wee, when he does something exciting? Is that what it is? It brings back that childlike enthusiasm?
I think it does. And perhaps it brings back memories for those of us from that generation of how much fun we had on our bike at one time. And now we can do it again. And it doesn't matter if our physical condition isn't what it used to be, or, you know, we have heart trouble or joint problems or whatever, we can still ride a bike and it's fun.
And that's what I found so amazing in the course of this podcast. I'm pleased to hear you're one of our regular listeners on the show. Is that correct here?
Absolutely. I love the show.
All right. Well, good. Because I love discovering and sharing these stories. Because, yes, I get that some people, it's fun to get back on a bike again. But I didn't realize how much fun it is and how quickly they feel fun. So talk about that first experience when you got on an e-bike, when you got back on the bike. How'd you feel?
It felt great. I lived in a neighborhood, believe it or not, even Central Florida has hills. And I lived in a neighborhood that was really hilly. And so riding my old bike had gotten to the point, you know, where it just wasn't as much fun anymore going up those hills. And once I got an electric bike, the hills flattened out. You know, the headwinds weren't a problem anymore. Yeah. And I could just sail. And so rather than riding maybe 5 miles, 10 miles on my old bike, now I was wanting to do 15, 20, 25 miles or more. And I want to ride as often as I can. You know, I wish I could ride every day. I still work. I can't always do that, but right. I'm on my bike as often as possible.
And what do you do now? You, because you're kind of retired, but you're in that, like, that second act career many of us are in here, and you found another second act career doing what, fundraising or something?
I do fundraising and marketing for a charity. It's a children's home in Florida.
There you go. Well, good for you. And then you spend most of your time in Florida and some of it in Texas. Talk about that. You go back and forth between the two?
Yes. I thought I was going to be in Florida. My wife and I had kind of semi-retired there, took my last job, so to speak, in Florida. But then our daughter in Texas called and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm pregnant." That changed everything in our lives.
Changed everything. Right.
So we bought a condo out in Abilene, Texas, where she lives, so we can spend part of our time around our granddaughter. And this happens to be she's 5 years old at this point.
We're in the same ballpark. My grandchildren are 2 and 8, so you're right in the middle of me here. And believe me, I thought we were going to move and go and had lots of great plans until grandkids came along. Then, oops, I guess we got to wait a while here, maybe forever. I don't know. So there is a connection there. And I'm wondering at some point, Shatner talked about this. Others have talked about this. We had a woman on the other day who has taken this a step further, and she uses it as her commuter bike, not just, and she's a soccer mom, and she takes her kids to soccer practice, and she's got some big cargo bike that Pedego makes, and she loads up everything like she would used to load up her minivan. Is there an intersection coming in your life? I mean, your kids don't ride, he doesn't ride a bike now, but at some point he's going to start riding bikes, and I don't know, maybe you don't want to give him an e-bike too early, but at some point there's a place where old grandpa can ride with the young grandkids. That's what Shatner said.
Well, actually, I did that just the other day. She has to have 10 years. She and I rode over to there's a nearby park and a playground, and we rode our bikes over there, and she played on the playground. We rode home. So she's doing it now, and she's only 5. Wow. And looking forward to her getting bigger, and I hope she keeps her enthusiasm for her biking, and that can raise a new generation of e-bike enthusiasts.
Yeah. You chronicle this thing. What made you start? I know you came from this journalistic background, and so you saw what Don saw, what others have seen, an industry that nobody heard of 10 years ago, that didn't exist, that even 5 years ago, people went, what? And now, I don't know what it's like in South Florida, but I see e-bikes, not just Pedego's, but I see e-bikes everywhere. I mean, it's flourished. You know, Pedego's grown. They've got hundreds of dealers. Other bike companies have popped up, and they seem to be, we're at the beginning of what seems to be a real revolution. That's why I think it is a revolution.
I agree. I think you're going to see more and more e-bikes, and particularly as cities and states continue to build out their trail networks and make it easier to commute. You're talking about using bikes for commuting purposes. Here in Abilene, Texas, where I live, we don't have a good trail network yet, but I can use the bike cutting through residential neighborhoods and low traffic streets to go to shopping centers and supermarkets and things. And I'm trying to make a conscious effort to do that. So the bike isn't just recreation, but it's a practical tool for transportation. And of course, to help the climate and all those good things.
All those good things, you know, and it does, I guess it's only begun. We've added another layer to this because cars are more expensive than ever, particularly as we move to electric cars, or gas is more expensive than ever. Yeah. All of which is getting people to think, maybe if I'm just going around the block or down the store, maybe I don't need to fire up the big gas guzzler or get the $150,000, you know, F-150 Lightning out of the garage and take it for a trip here, my electric truck here. I don't know. I mean, I think it started off fun. It started off what Don saw. He lived near the beach. He liked riding down. He didn't like riding back up. Men of a certain age all understand the people of a certain age. So he said, maybe an electric bike can help me do that. It did. And then he opened up a store just to see if anybody buy the darn things. And they did. And then that led to, if I can sell them, maybe others can. But it was still a ways off. When did you get in? Were you an early adopter to this or a late bloomer on this?
I guess you'd say I'm a late bloomer. I've owned an e-bike for about 4 years, so maybe four and a half. So it's not been that long a time, but it has really changed my life in so many, good ways. I feel, my health has improved thanks to my bike. Mm-hmm. I'm using it for recreation. And of course, as you know, it never feels better than when you're out on your bike.
Yeah. Something about, again, is it the fact, describe to me what you feel, because I've heard many people do it. I don't want to put words in your face, or words in your mouth, but is it something about just being out in the elements, in the open? Talk about that feeling of riding a bike again, because most of us forgotten what that feels like.
I know there's a certain pleasure. It's hard to describe to anyone who hasn't ridden a bike or hasn't ridden one lately, but the air in your face, when you're riding, is just a certain pleasure that comes with that. And particularly, many of the trails are out in nature areas. They're a beautiful countryside, right, where it's you and the trees. And it's like the same, I guess, feeling perhaps that people get who go hiking out in nature or enjoy nature in other ways. And so you get to do that on a bike and cover much more distance than you could, say, hiking.
When I was a kid, we're probably around the same age here, I had to memorize things. We had to memorize the Gettysburg Address or something. And for some reason, the teacher I had in like fourth grade made us memorize Robert Frost's poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. And I can still recite the whole darn thing. And it really is about taking that road less traveled. There were two paths, but I took the one less traveled. That's really what this all reminds me of. We are in such a hurry. We got to get there. We got to get out in the traffic jam. We got to go. We had a guy on from London. And he worked at the embassy, United States Embassy. There, big, important guy. He was, a colonel in the Air Force or something. And he couldn't get to work, predictably. Big traffic jam. So he started riding a bike, really just to weave in and out. And what it did is it took him down the byways. Not just the highways, but the byways. Talk about seeing the byways. You're in tech. I'm in California. Route 66 is the mother road. Used to come from Chicago. Most of it's been bypassed by the main freeways a long time ago. So these are forgotten stretches of the world that we just don't go visit and see anymore. I'm assuming the same thing's true in Abilene or Florida. What do you see when you're out there?
Yeah, when you're on a bike, you sense things much more richly than you do, say, in a car. It's all closed up, the air conditioner going and the radio blaring. Right. When you're on a bike, you can smell the flowers. You can say hello to the people as you go by. Right. You'll see small local stores you maybe didn't even know were there, and you've been driving past them in your big SUV for years. But now on a bicycle, you're experiencing, whether it's your own town or nature out in the woods, you're experiencing it in a much richer, deeper way because you're on a bicycle.
And there's something communal about it. When I rode a bike, we went out with the gang. We all gathered in the morning and took off. But later, when I was in my 40s and I was bike riding more seriously again, long distance, it was just exercise. It was just solo. It was just me getting up against the elements and pushing myself. And I was trying to log in so many miles, to beat the clock, to push my heart rate up. I wasn't necessarily stopping along the way to have a beer or to stop in at a cafe or something. We've gone somehow. This is another, talk about that communal. You must see this. I certainly see it, this communal experience, this lazy experience. It isn't just necessarily, it feels good and it's good for me. There's something we've sort of lost along the way here that I feel is regathering.
Yes. I live in Florida, a 55-plus retirement community. And when I ride the streets there, of course, I'm meeting new neighbors. I stop and talk with people along the way. Appreciate the landscapes and homes more, perhaps, because I'm on a bike. So there is a communal aspect to it. Also, too, I travel with my bike a lot now. In fact, almost anywhere I go now, my bike is going with me.
Your bike goes with you. That's just one of the things you've got to pack and take along here. Okay, so where do you take the bike? And what happens if you're in the middle of nowhere and you need help with the bike?
To answer your first question, I've taken the bike to Virginia, ridden the trails there in Williamsburg, up around Richmond, this beautiful countryside there. This summer, I'm hoping to go to Michigan, to the Lake Michigan area. and ride along the lakeshore.
Can I stop you there for 2 seconds? Because we've never met before, but oh my goodness, you're talking about my life history. I grew up in Michigan and lived in Michigan. And where did I go? I went to 1 year of law school at William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. So I'm very familiar with all that stuff. I had to learn to say Williamsburg and put a little drawl in my Yankee accent here if I wanted to get anywhere.
Yeah, we're going to Petoskey in Traverse City.
Petoskey, you probably know where those are. Beautiful, spectacular. Yeah. Petoskey stones and everything. These fossilized stones that everybody collects.
Yes, the Petoskey rocks or whatever they call them. Yes. Yeah. And then in August, I'm going to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to ride the trail there. It's a 72-mile long trail. It's a Hall of Fame trail. So I'm looking forward to that. That's one of my, I guess you might say, bucket list trails.
Hall of Fame. You throw that out so casually. I didn't know. Who puts together the Hall of Fame for bike riding trails?
Yeah, Rails to Trails Conservancy.
Oh, we got to get them on. They keep talking. I keep bumping up against these people, and I think it's a fascinating topic here. Yes. Right. So you mentioned earlier, I'm setting you up. You said you wanted to make sure you did a shout out to Pedego, and particularly because they do have dealers across the country. Not everybody can experience this with every brand out there. In fact, no other brand really. You had a problem somewhere. You were in the middle of someplace you'd never been before with the bike. Talk about that.
And speaking of travel, I had a brand new bike. I had literally had it 1 week. I have a Boomerang, Platinum Edition. Love the bike. I took it on vacation with me to Marco Island, Florida. Small, relatively small place.
Beautiful. Been there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, beautiful. Yes. And it's a very bikeable town, by the way. So if any of your listeners ever go there, be sure to take your Pedego with you. About 2 days into the vacation, I had a mechanical problem that was fairly severe, for a new bike, and had to take the bike into the shop. I was afraid
As opposed to what? All these people buying bikes on the internet or Costco or something. You got to do what now? I got to take it home.
That's right.
And send it back. Yeah.
I would have been out of luck for my vacation, but because there was a Pedego dealer on Marco Island, I took it in around lunchtime. By the late afternoon, I picked the bike up, all fixed and ready to go. Wow. And so I didn't miss much time at all enjoying my bike. I rode my bike almost every day on vacation.
Now, answer me this, because do you ever stop in and see the Pedego dealer if you don't need service? Do you ever you're in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. You're in Williamsburg, Virginia. I don't know if there's dealers anywhere near there. But do you do that? Because many people that come on the show talk about this, and I find that totally bizarre.
Yes, I was riding the Pinellas Trail in Dunedin, Florida, and stopped in the store there and just met the owners. Yes, so I have done that.
So we all have cars. Various brands. When I travel around the country in my car, I don't stop into the Chrysler dealer and say, "Hey, I'm just stopping by. What's hanging out? How you doing here?" He'd look at me like I was nuts. He'd say, "Do you need help?" "No, just thought I'd, stop by, give you the Chrysler salute or the VW salute or whatever." I don't understand this whole connection. But what do you do when you go see these dealers there? Do you just say hi? And how do they react when you walk in the door?
They were always glad to see you, always friendly. It is like a big family.
Yeah. Do they give you then local advice? That's the only thing I can see. Maybe they tell you where to ride and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yes, they are a good resource for that. So, I encourage any Pedego owners to do that as your travel.
What do you think beyond Pedego, this whole movement? I don't know how many, lots of bike brands out here today. When Don started, there were a handful. That's why he's become so big and one of the early adopters and pioneers. But there's people popping up all the time. Eventually, I'm sure there'll be a shakeout. There'll be a handful of big brands that will survive like cars. But we're in that early phase, like when I was a kid in Detroit. Or not when I was a kid, but my dad was a kid in Detroit in the 20s. There must have been 100 car companies in Detroit.
Most
of whom we've never heard of anymore. The Hupmobile or whatever.
Yeah.
So at some point, there's some shake out of this thing. But I'm wondering, even still, is the room for this to go further, or have we kind of hit the plateau of how many people are going to ride bikes? Are we just beginning the ride, or are we kind of in that mature point here?
I think it's just beginning. And of course, there may be some ebbs and flows along the way. It may not be a straight line up. Right. But again, I think as the infrastructure here in the United States and Canada begins to improve, we're going to become more like Europe, and bikes will become more common as a way of transportation. Children will be riding bikes to school.
People ride them to work. Yeah, I mean,
people will be riding bikes when they're 9 years old. I mean, it's going to become part of our culture I believe we are at the beginning of the revolution. Not it's not mature yet.
So tell me some stories. You've been writing this blog now for a couple of years and then turned it into a book. And I guess in the book you talked to Don. Who else did you talk to in the book? I think you talked to a couple of the people we've interviewed here. Didn't you talk to the doctor who?
Yes, Dr. Miriam Lieberman was one of my favorite interviews, actually.
Wow,
her, she was wild. Her life story is so inspiring. But I do remember her talking about how she had had, I believe, 20 surgeries at the time I talked to her.
Couldn't get to work, had to lay in the back of like a van or something. And through the bike, got up, got active and out again. And now she rides hundreds of miles. This is a woman who couldn't walk because of all these car crashes. She had a car crash and surgeries.
We all say that e-bikes have changed our lives, but Dr. Lieberman definitely can say that for sure. And I talked to Laura Madoff, another California lady who's a Pedego owner, and she loves to ride those long distance rides. I think every summer her and Alice and some other ladies pack up their bikes and head off somewhere, and they've been all around the country.
We've had, I don't know if you heard the show we did a while ago, but he just contacted us again. I forgot his name. I'm sorry. I can't think of it off the top of my head. He wrote so long. He was an engineer, and he started saying, I wonder if I really went around the world, how far I've gone. And he realized he'd gone halfway around the world. So he pushes himself at a certain pace, and then he pretends like he's on a straight. He's really riding around the town, but he pretends like if I put in so many miles and I'm in Bangladesh now, I'm in Burma, I'm in Japan, I'm someplace, and he's almost made it, virtually around the world. I mean, in his mind, he's riding around the world, not just around the neighborhood repeatedly here.
I heard that segment. It's very interesting.
Yeah, he's getting close. We're going to have him come back or do something because he just sent us an email that says, hey, I'm closing in faster than I thought it was. He thought it would take him the rest of the year to get there.
I interviewed 12 people in the book. And I got to say that was my favorite part of the whole project. People like Dr. Lieberman. All of them had inspiring stories. And so I wrote about those. And I hope that those who maybe consider picking up a copy of the book, well, if they read nothing else, be sure to read those 12 stories.
Read those
stories.
Or give me another one that we haven't heard. We got about 5 minutes left here. Give us a story we haven't heard yet. Somebody we should interview. He may be here. Whether they got a Pedego or not, I don't care. Just somebody who's into the e-bike here. Yeah.
Well, I interview some of the trike people because we don't think as much about the e-trikes, but they are an important part of the equation. And, of course, Pedego has an e-trike. But I interviewed one couple where he was an amputee. And did not have, don't remember, it was left or right, but was missing a leg.
Oh my God.
And could not ride a two-wheel bike. And so he got an e-trike and, of course, changed his life. And he's out there on the road again.
Amputees riding bikes. Yeah, wow.
It's very important for seniors, especially, I guess for everyone, but especially senior citizens, as our health begins to fail, we see our horizons kind of closing in on us.
Absolutely.
It's important to have that sense of joy. If we can get out there, we can still have some adventure, we can get fresh air and sunshine and be out there. So, which, by the way, is another reason that I am a fan, like Don, of the throttle, because the throttle is very helpful to a lot of senior adults and others with disabilities who need that extra help.
It's the great excuse eliminator. I can't do this. Yes. I can't make it up. I can't make it back. I can't go that far. I'm overweight. I had a heart problem. I'm too old, blah, 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 blah. All these excuses we have, which does shrink in the world. I remember, I don't want to leave on a down note, but my late aunt passed away a couple of years ago at 93, and she was pretty much housebound the last 10, 15 years of her life. Didn't have any kids, didn't have any real passions, everything, overweight, cancer problems. She basically, and I think more and more of us are headed that way unless we find a way what we found as a kid. Freedom, fun, outdoor adventure, something to get up and go in the morning and the ability to do it. That's what I think this is all about.
Because our generation does not want to sit in the rocking chair and we don't want to wind up, in an institution if we can help it.
Right.
We're going to wear out, not rust out.
yes, I like that.
We're active as long as we can. And so the e-bike is a perfect fit for the baby boomer generation.
Well, tell us the book again. Tell us the blog first. We can, because I'm encouraging anybody that's telling us. I don't know many people chronicling and telling these stories. So I'm enthusiastic to read your blog and hear how it compares with the stories we're finding. What's the name of the blog and how do we find it?
Thank you, Paul. It's called This E-Bike Life.
This E-Bike Life. Pretty simple.
This E-Bike Life. So it's easy to find. And then the book, the title again is E-Bikes, Putting the Fun Back into Cycling and Life at Any Age.
Any age. Well, we all knew it once when we were a kid. Along the way, we somehow put it down or forgot about it and put up all these walls and excuses. And somehow e-bikes are removing those barriers and giving us that childlike feeling of fun, adventure, getting out in the world again with others and exploring and going. You get any really wild stories, I hope you'll share them with us. Maybe we can bring them back on and talk about them here. The more we can cross promote these stories, the more this thing will grow and go.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. Any final thoughts or takeaways here as we wrap up? What do you say to those that still haven't embraced the e-bike life?
Just go and rent one. Just try it out. Take an afternoon, go rent a bike at a Pedego shop, and I think your mind will be made up pretty quickly. You'll come back with a famous e-bike grin on your face. You'll be wanting to find out which model is best for you and what price range, but you'll buy a bike.
I got to sit in a store and watch, because they all say there is an e-bike grin, and they're like, wait for it. Oh, there it is. Shatner talked about it. Others have talked about it. That moment of epiphany when you go, wow, this is it. I haven't felt like this in a long time. Well, yes. I haven't found anybody in a long time that's riding along with us. Thank you, fellow journalist. Let's keep sharing stories. And together, we'll tell the tales of this amazing e-bike revolution, this e-bike life.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. One more reason. We're not alone. We're not crazy. There are others chronicling this e-bike life, this revolution that's taking place. So if you haven't joined, if you don't know what we're talking about, tune in. Ride along with us. And if you're part of it, share your stories. Please, we'd love to hear more. Right here on the Pedego Podcast, brought to you each and every week by Pedego Electric Bikes.